Well, wonderful sharing by Jeannie Linfelt last night. And if you haven't had a chance to listen to that, I recommend you go on our website, actsnowfellowship.net, or Facebook, and give it a listen, because it was about transformation and that we don't copy the world. Tonight, I'm going to be sharing something I think will companion with that. It's called What's in Your Mind? And so if you take your Bibles, please, and turn to the book of Psalms, we're going to read Psalm 1, verses 1 and 2. I'm going to be reading from the Amplified Version because I think it just adds a really unique flavor to it. Psalm 1:1. Blessed or fortunate, prosperous, and favored by God is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, following their advice and example, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits down to rest in the seat of scoffers or ridiculers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law, his precepts and teachings, he habitually meditates day and night. You can turn to Joshua chapter 1. Another very familiar record. Now, what I really want to focus in on that word, and that's what we're going to talk about tonight. What's in your mind? In Psalm 1:2, it said, "And on his law he habitually meditates day and night." And in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, I'm going to read from the New International Version this time. Says, keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have not I commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Again, that first section, keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night. And finally, I'm going to go to Colossians here, chapter 3. Because obviously you're starting to see that what I want to talk about a little bit here tonight is our ability and the profit of meditating, thinking, reciting, the scriptures. And I thought it was interesting, even in Joshua 1:8, it says, keep this book of the law always on your what? Your lips. So that must sort of coincide, I would think, with the things that are coming out of our mouths, right? As we meditate it on it, it does go down into our heart. And then, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, Jesus said. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. English Standard Version. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Let the word of Christ dwell. Dwell. Well, what does that mean? I mean, we all kind of have dwellings that we're in right probably at this moment. It's an abode. It's many times our homes, the place that we live, we're comfortable with, we sleep there. This says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And so, again, what's in your mind? You know, Bible memorization is of utmost importance in the Christian life. In fact, memorizing the scriptures is perhaps the single most crucial element to spiritual growth and victory over sin. Victor Paul Werwell said, spiritual inability and weakness are due to one of two things. Number one, improper spiritual food, or the wrong kind of diet. Improper spiritual food. And then number two, neglect of the Word of God. So let me state that one more time. And put that in the context of these verses that I've just shared. Blessed is the man who doesn't walk in the counsel of the wicked, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. And God told Joshua, keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night. Colossians, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Bible memorization. And we don't do it just to have the knowledge. We do it to meditate upon the great things of God. His word is so beautiful because according to 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, which we know, all scripture is what? God breathed. This word of God is so powerful because it is literally God breathed from God. And so when we fill our minds with his words by the process of memorizing scripture, meditating on it, mulling it over, thinking about it, we avail ourselves of one of the most powerful spiritual tools that there is. When we memorize the Word of God, and hey, I've listened, I've heard it all, my memory's not that good, what's the benefit, what's the profit, I don't understand things, I don't memorize, whatever. Listen, your mind was designed to hold the Word of God, okay? I'm not saying it's always that just easy, like you have a photographic memory and you just remember every verse. I remember in the early stages of my walk with God that I would take 3x5 cards and I would write down verses. And then sometimes I would write them over and over and over and over again until they were just retained in my memory. For it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure, right? Philippians 2:13. For this cause also, thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you've heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. That's 1 Thessalonians 2:13. And on and on and on the list goes. And that's not to exalt myself. It's just the benefit of knowing the scriptures. Because you know what? When we memorize the Word of God, several things happen. And we'll find out after the return. But according to the scriptures, I definitely do believe Jesus memorized a large portion and portions of the Old Testament. Whether that was part of the Jewish culture, that sort of thing, to have types of memory exercises. But we know that Jesus always, and Paul too, referred to the ancient scriptures. And that wasn't necessarily that he went to the scrolls and looked it up. He could quote it verbatim. And so when we memorize God's word, the word of God, several things will happen. And we remember this verse in Psalm 119:11. Obviously, one of my favorite verses of all time. And probably something that really got me going and really excited over the years about learning how to retain scripture in my mind. And Psalm 119:11 says, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not, what? Sin against thee. Thy word have I hid in my heart. You know, this tells us that David hid God's word in his heart so they wouldn't sin against him. So he not only did he hear and read the scriptures, but he internalized it and laid it up in his mind and memory for future use. You know that the Word of God is the believer's only truly potent weapon against sin, and it's when it's placed in the mind through Bible memorization, it is a strong influence for godliness and righteous living. Well, praise the Lord. Glory, hallelujah. Remember the verse in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12? I know you've heard it and read it many times. It says that the Word of God is living and active. And that means that it has supernatural power to mold us and to help transform us, like Jeannie so wonderfully shared about. And it has that ability to mold us into the Christ-likeness, into the transformation process, when we meditate upon it And there's no better way to meditate on the word than to have it in our minds and in our memories. Today, for whatever the reasons, that verse that came to my mind, which I basically meditated and thought about, quoted and said, I don't know how many times, Isaiah 26:3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. I just thought, that is such a beautiful verse. Because, boy, if we ever needed peace in our lives, today's the day. Well, how do we get that? How do we remind ourselves that God will keep us in perfect peace? Actually, we've already been given the peace in a doctrinal sense. Jesus Christ paid the perfect price. But in a practical sense, we still have to kind of appropriate what we've received by God's grace. And one of the most wonderful things about it is we have that word of God on our lips, and we meditate it, we think about it, and we ask God questions. What does that mean, Father? I'm so, you know, and to be able to just keep the conversation going. You remember Ephesians chapter 6? We can go there real quick. What it does is it describes the believer's armor in the battle for our souls and our spiritual survival. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13. In the English Standard Version, it says, therefore take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is what? The Word of God. You see, all the elements of the armor are defensive except one. The only offensive weapon is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And just as Jesus used God's Word to fend off attacks of Satan, so we too must be able to utilize that same weapon. But Satan doesn't give us a chance in time to look up the correct passages when we are confronted with his lies and deceptions. This practice of Bible memorization, it ensures that we will have the appropriate truths and principles in mind and to be able to recall them instantly to effectively respond to the evil one who seeks to what? Destroy us. Like in 1 Peter, it says, your adversary, the devil, like a roaring lion, seeketh about, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. And he wants to pounce on you in an unsuspecting moment. But you know what we say? On guard. On guard. I see the attack coming. I speak that word. It is written. You know Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, right? They exhort us to renew our minds so that we are no longer influenced by the thinking that conforms us to this world. But what? Transformed. You know, the only way to renew the mind is to fill it with Scripture. That's what Romans 12:2 talks about. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the what? Renewing of your mind. Renewing. What is that process? Well, certainly part of it is to know the Word to the point that you can begin to understand and appropriate the things that that's referring to. And in the context, that's the doctrine given in Romans 1 through 8. Chapter 12 starts the practical side of living out your sonship. And so talk about our identification. Maybe there would be great profit, and obviously it certainly there is, to understand the new nature, to walk in our full identification, to get to a point where there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. You know, memorizing scripture, it's the privilege and responsibility of every believer, every Christian. And so we do it willingly, and we willingly participate in the encouragement that's given in Romans chapter 12, verses 2. And I thought to close, I would read this wonderful translation by in the Phillips New Testament. It says, don't let the world, Romans 12, 2 in the Phillips, don't let the world around you squeeze you into its own mold, but let God remold your minds from within so that you may prove in practice that the plan of God for you is good. It meets all his demands and moves towards the goal of true maturity. Guys, Bible memorization. I know it kind of sounds old school maybe, but it really truly is of utmost and critical importance in a believer's life. And like Dr. Worrell said, spiritual inability and weakness are due to one of two things: improper spiritual food or neglect of the Word of God. And hopefully we don't have both of those things going on, or we're getting the wrong diet and we're neglecting the Word. This Word of God is God-breathed. It is the Word of life. It is that energizing, quickening, Spirit-filled life that God has given to us. And we can look forward and have expectation that our lives will be filled with goodness and a greater understanding of who God is. This Word of God is dynamically alive and well. You don't have to do this as a religious activity, but I recommend maybe you take a few verses and begin the process, right? Because these words that Jesus said, we are spirit and they are life. So once again, I ask you this question. What's in your mind? Heavenly Father, what a joy and privilege it is to be called your children, to have the opportunity to stand against the enemy and back him down, that we do submit ourselves to you, Father. We resist the devil, and your word says that he will flee. We've got to have the right tools. We've got to have the right things to be able to do it, because we can't do it in our own strength. We need that supernatural energizing power of the Spirit combined with the Word, and we then become unstoppable and more than conquerors in any given situation through him who infuses inner strength into us. So reveal yourself even greater to us, Father, after this sharing, that our hearts become those that understand that that Word of God that we're feeding upon, it becomes more important than our necessary food, that we are rejoicing as ones that find great spoil. And I know this is an important topic, Father, and something that hopefully we can simply communicate and do our best just to stand upon what your Word says and let it come forth out of our lips. And we pray in Jesus Christ's powerful name. Amen.